17th year, 2000. This is an interview with the family, the wife and daughter of, is it Curly Brown Sr.?
Yes.
Okay. And the interviewer is Betsy Brinson, and it takes place in the family residence in Paducah, Kentucky. Could you just give me your full name?
Marilyn Brown Queen.
Queen, mm-hmm. Q-U-E-N.
E-E-N, okay. Yes.
And you, Mrs. Brown?
Eddie Alberta Brown.
Okay. Well, thank you for agreeing to talk with me today. I'd like to start, Mrs. Brown, and ask you if you could tell me where and when you were born, please.
I'm Pittsburgh, Kentucky, December the 11th.
So that makes you 83 years old? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you said
in December.
Frysburg?
Mm-hmm.
Is that near here?
It's on the other side of Mayfield.
Other side of Mayfield, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's close. And how long have you lived in Paducah?
We come here when I was in my teens, and I'm in my 80s now.
So you've lived
so
here
been
a long
here long
time.
Long time.
All
I don't know life. Anything about, no, don't remember too much, but I lived in Pittsburgh, Kentucky, right out from Mayfield.
Okay. And how did your family, while you were growing up, make their living?
We lived on a farm.
On a farm, okay.
My brother worked at the clay mine.
Okay.
Clay pit.
The clay pit. And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
It's 10 of us, 5 girls and 5 boys.
Okay. Well, that worked out well. 5 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about your education?
Well, I went to school in Pittsburgh, got as far as eighth grade. We lived out in the country, and the time it got cold, got bad, we missed a lot, so I got out of the eighth grade.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you need to work on the farm?
Oh, yeah.
What kinds of chores did you have to do on the farm?
Well, my dad raised tobacco. That was to eat out there, mm-hmm. Tobacco.
Okay. So you did what? Did you plant it? Did
set it out and then attend to it, you know, hoe it. And,
okay.
Till time come to sucker it. You know, it had little things on, then you had to sucker it, and then they cut it. And
okay, hard work.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you meet Mr. Brown?
Oh, we were in Paducah just from a
church.
Right? At church.
Okay. You remember the first time you met him?
Well, I saw him. Not really. He was very active in church, and
uh-huh.
Superintendent of Sunday school and everything. And you know, I saw him a long time before I said anything to him. So before we really got acquainted, you know. But he was always real nice, you know. And when somebody new came in, and he'd come around to see about people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, how long before you decided you were going to be a couple?
I guess it's about a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it that long, because he was hanging around.
He was interested in you.
About 3 months, so I you know.
Okay. And then, were you married in the church that you belonged to?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, down to the pastor, to Reverend
Crenshaw.
Catherine's husband.
Moss.
Mm-hmm, Reverend Moss.
Okay. What can you tell me about your husband's early background? Where did he grow up?
He grew up in Mississippi.
In Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How did he get from Mississippi to Paducah?
I guess he just glad to get away from there. He just came on came to Duke when he was, well, he was in his teens. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Do you know why he chose Paducah?
No.
Do you think he was just on the move and stopped here? Or did he have any
I know you can't remember the name, Kearney's first cousin.
But he did have some distant family here.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably stopped to
visit. Yeah, yeah, it was somebody already here. His first cousin, they was just, you know, real close.
Okay. Do you know, can you tell me anything about his early family in Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
Like how many children in his family?
Mm, he had a brother. And
His mother died early.
Okay.
He grew up with his aunt and dad.
Do you know how they made their living?
Farming.
And how far did Mr. Brown get in his education?
He completed public schools and went out to West Kentucky and took
courses.
When it was
an industrial college, he went there.
Okay. Now, did you know him when he was at the industrial college?
Oh, yeah.
You did. What did he study there?
Carpentry.
He was a carpenter.
Okay.
They were married at that time. He went back to high school later.
When did he start to become active with the NAACP? Do you remember that?
I can't remember the date, but as soon as it was organized around here.
He was a charter member of the state, and he was president here for like 35 years. He's been dead 20 or something.
He died in 1976. 76,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he had been president for 30 something years, and I think he was a charter member of the state branch, so probably.
So maybe he would have been active here from about 1940,
45, yes, I'm sure. In the 40s, sometime.
Okay. Of course, we had World War II. Did he have to go off and serve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were you active in the NAACP in the 40s?
Mm-hmm.
In the 40s?
Mm-hmm.
What can you remember? How big was the chapter at that point?
We had a lot of names, but people joined, but everybody didn't. We'd have a good meeting, but everybody didn't attend the meetings. We had practically, my husband probably got everybody he knew, with
Okay. I think it was in 1949, 1950, the NAACP chapter sued to open up the Paducah Junior College,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was called. Do you have any recollection of that lawsuit?
Just remember casually, not really too much.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember? I don't know how old you were.
I can't remember any details. I was born in 44. I don't remember any details about that. I guess I remember the result of it. I don't remember the actual filing of the lawsuit, anything like that.
Okay.
I can remember when my brother went.
Okay, let me tell you what I know, and you tell me if this sounds like what you've heard at all.
Mm-hmm.
The first two students that went in to apply went with a lawyer from here.
Joe Freeland,
probably.
Yeah.
And they were both men, and they were both turned down because of race.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lawsuit was filed. And the next, after that, well, actually, the Selective Service Board then drafted those two young men.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next two people to actually challenge it were two women. And one of the questions I've had in that is, did Mr. Brown and the lawyer and the NAACP, why did these two young men get drafted? They get drafted because they were making trouble?
I can't really speak to that. Gladman he came by and he said you were going to talk to him. He may have some specifics. He was around that age, you know. Right. He was, but I don't have any specific. I don't remember any specifics about that because Sonny, my brother, graduated high school in what I think 1953.
Uh-huh. And then the lawsuit, I believe, was resolved in about 1953 mm-hmm. in favor
right.
of opening up the mm-hmm. school. And then your brother was one of four students yeah. who actually were mm-hmm. the first students there. Where is your brother today?
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, he was killed in a car accident in 1963, rather, when he was a candidate for his PhD
okay.
and at Southern Illinois University.
Mm. That's tragic. What was he doing his PhD?
Microbiology.
Mm-hmm. Now, Marilyn, when were the schools here? When you and I talked on the phone, I believe you said that you actually went to school here when they were integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, how far did you go in school to an all-black school before integration?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been about what year, do you remember?
Let me see if I graduated in 62. I think I was at Jaton in 59. Probably 56, 58.
Okay.
So probably, yeah, okay. Something like that.
So the Brown versus Board of Education came down in 54, and
right.
then I think it took another year
mm-hmm.
with the implementation suit. So the Paducah schools actually
went ahead, I think.
Integrated
yeah.
fairly early
mm-hmm.
compared to some
yeah.
other places
oh, yeah,
in
we
the
did.
State.
The first year, I think, it, you know, it was possible we did.
Do you know what moved the city system to move forward like that? Not all school systems were that.
Probably Daddy.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So. Wow, he was pretty fierce. And, you know, I don't remember having much of a choice. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of...
But they didn't mind it, you know. They went on first, you know. And I might have been...
We figured it was a no-win situation, so it was, you know, but I don't think we...
I was scared. More afraid than they were.
Now, there were seven children,
mm-hmm.
and were they all in school at that point?
Oh,
mm-hmm. Everybody but Stevie, the baby.
Okay. But you were concerned, Mrs. Brown. Why was
yeah.
that?
Huh?
What were your concerns?
I didn't know. I just didn't know what might happen.
You were concerned for their safety?
Yes. Because I used to get all kinds of calls all during the night, and just say anything to me, hang up.
Mm-hmm. Was that because your children were in the school?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably because of Daddy.
It was more
because of
right.
him.
Was there any Klan activity in this area?
I don't know.
I don't remember any visible, no.
But you just remember people calling
yeah.
and saying things
mm-hmm.
to you?
Oh, yeah, we used to hear noises outside, and I think Daddy got knocked in the head one time I remember. Yeah.
Tell me what you remember.
I just remember him coming home and some of his friends. He was usually pretty protective of us. Some of his friends had already taken him and gotten taken care of, and we were here. And of course, he always acted like it was nothing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me so you went from to the all-black school through sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that school?
Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And then in seventh grade, you went to what school?
Jaton.
How do you spell that?
Jeton. The
okay.
school.
I
the,
just came
uh-huh,
back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Where they just turned into a car.
That's
where it was.
Stop and ask
right.
for directions again. And he said, oh,
mm-hmm.
well,
yeah.
that street is 10th Street. You're on
mm-hmm.
the right street.
Yeah.
So, okay. And when you went there in seventh grade, tell me about that. How big a...
Well, it seemed huge. It was a lot bigger than Lincoln. It was a little, you know, a little apprehensive at first, but I can remember Daddy took me, and I found comfort in that, you know, until he left. And, you know, I can remember it feeling a little bit uncomfortable, but that really didn't last a long time. It wasn't the teachers, I can remember, being pretty good, you know, and they did, it wasn't any open hostility, mm-hmm. you know.
Were they all white teachers?
Oh, sure.
Were there any black teachers
no.
at that point?
No. Mm-hmm. There weren't any when I graduated from Tillman, as far as that goes.
Do you have Do you have any sense of what happened to black teachers with integration in Paducah? In other places, in some other places, you know, they lost their jobs.
I don't think that happened much here, because see, by the time, at that point that we went, Lincoln was still open. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were still there until I left, you know, until I was out of Tillman. So I'm not real sure how that transition went, mm-hmm. because it was still open, so there were just a few of us there.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the arrangement here was, if you wanted to go to an all-white school, you could, but the school board didn't make
right.
any arrangement mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. moving everybody.
I can't remember that anybody lost their job, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, just like I said, I wasn't around at that point, so.
How were the other children to you?
The students?
Mm-hmm.
It probably, and I've probably made this statement before, probably encountered less prejudice during those times than probably in my adult life. It went, you know, we made friends and we did fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why do you say that compared to your adult life?
I mean, you know, it seemed like, to me, I always describe it as a situation where they had probably never been around me any more than I'd been around them, and there was some apprehension at the very, you know, not apprehension, standoffishness at the very beginning, but then we just went right on. And I just, like I said, I had a couple of white teachers that seemed to make an effort. I remember this little lady that taught me science at your time. One time in class, she asked me a question, and I kind of hesitated, and she asked me to stay after class. And she was, you know, real enthusiastic kind of person anyway. And she, you know, jumped in my face, and she told me not to be afraid to, you know, to open my mouth. I had as much right to be wrong as anybody else. And, you know, that kind of broke the ice. But as far as the students, we, you know, actually, when we grew up, there were people around, you know, that street over there was totally white. So I guess, you know, you knew some of the people anyway. You just mm-hmm. didn't go to school with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And did you go all the way through high school here
mm-hmm.
in Paducah? And you finished high school here? What year was that?
62.
Okay. And at that point, how many approximately students were there
well,
in your
there
graduating
was
class?
About 13 of us and about 300.
Total,
so, yeah.
13
blacks.
Graduating. Oh,
mm-hmm.
13 blacks.
Yeah, and about, you know, it was close to 300 students.
In the total school.
Mm-hmm. No, in the graduating class.
Oh, that's a big.
Tillman's pretty,
wow.
It's pretty big. You have, you know, they mm-hmm. have two, matter of fact, it was bigger then because they didn't have, I'm not sure that they hadn't separated like in the county, and they had Heath and all that, so I think mm-hmm. most of the people were pretty there, but I think it was 300 and some people in my class.
Mm-hmm. Big class.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the school is?
Paducah Tillman.
Tillman,
T-I-L-G-H-M-A-N.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that name comes from?
No, it's named from some person, some man, but I don't know what he did.
Okay.
You know, it may have been an educator or
okay.
something.
And when you graduated, then what?
Then what did I do?
Did you leave?
I went to PJC. We all did.
Okay, here in Paducah.
Mm-hmm. Paducah Junior
okay.
College.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you study there?
Well, it's just liberal arts. You don't really declare a degree in the first
right.
couple of years.
Okay. Now, I know you told me on the phone that you eventually you moved to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You lived in Louisville for 20 some years,
mm-hmm.
is that? How did you, when did you move to Louisville? Do you remember that?
Probably 67, 68, somewhere along there.
And had you, did you know Louisville at all before you moved there?
Well, I'd been there several times, and I had an aunt there, and that was going to be a stopover in someplace else. I figured Daddy would let me go there, and then I could go on, but I didn't.
Well, Louisville, of course, in 68, was in the midst of a whole open housing campaign. Mm-hmm. Do you recall any of that? There were some riots, unfortunately.
I recall out there on 28th and Greenwood, and I recall the decision, the busing decision and all of that. Yeah, I recall the riots.
I want to ask you how you would compare, at the time that you went to Louisville, the early years, how would you compare race relations in Louisville with what you'd grown up with in Paducah? Was Paducah further ahead or further behind than Louisville?
Race relations? I think that Paducah was pretty much on target. And maybe it's because some people would say it was because of my name. I just always had the feeling in Paducah, if you kind of deserved a position, it wouldn't be as tough to get. You know, it might have been name recognition. I never really worked here, but, you know, people seem to get into jobs without a lot of that.
When you say name recognition, you think they knew of your father?
Yeah, they used to say
and
that.
And your relationship. Yeah. And so that, what, you think?
Probably helped.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned also on the phone, Marilyn, that some of your brothers and sisters also helped to integrate. And we talked about your brother.
Curly Jr. was the first one at PJC and the first one to graduate. And he and Dora, my oldest sister, they both graduated from Lincoln, but then they went to PJC. The rest of us graduated from Tillman. And we were all in that first class except my baby brother. He, you know, the first year they integrated, we were all in that.
This is not entirely fair to ask you to speak for them, but do you have any sense of what that experience was like for them?
Probably pretty much like mine. I don't think we really, nobody really, really fought it. You know, I don't, just like I said, I'm not sure that anybody had any real opposition to doing it. If everybody figured we couldn't, in light of Dad's position, if everybody figured he was going to make you if you didn't want to go anyway, you know. And I don't know what he would have done. We just didn't, we just didn't discuss it.
I wonder if you remember in 1964 now, there was a rally in Frankfort, and Martin Luther King was there, and there were people that came from all over the state, and I wonder if you or your husband,
Daddy was there, and he was in Selma, and he was in the March on Washington. I remember that.
So he really got around, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Did he ever talk about people that he met?
Well, you know, it's yeah, and then back then, the NAACP was a lot smaller than it is now, and a lot more personal, so it wasn't a real big thing for, you know, to him to have direct access to the people at the national office or know them by name, you know. I can remember, you know, that. Matter of fact, when I was looking through, I remember seeing a letter from Gloucester Current, who was director of branches at that time, whom I met when I went to a convention. And, you know, was it Clarence Mitchell and Roy Wilkins and those kind of people? It was not a big thing to have a one-on-one conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever travel with your husband to any of the NAACP conventions?
Mm-hmm. Once or twice.
Okay. He took a lot of times, I guess it was like, with seven of us, it was like two sets of kids. A lot of time he took the older ones with him, or we stopped we went to visit her sister and stuff a lot of times, and they and we went on. But he took my older brothers and sisters sometime. Then when we got older, he took us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wonder if any of the children still live in Paducah.
No, but me, I just came back.
You came back, mm-hmm. Right? Do you? Why is that? Why do people leave Paducah?
Oh, good place to be from. Well, you know, I guess my theory on that is after you go away to school and, you know, your world kind of enlarges and it's kind of, I think most kids, you know, even with my son, mm-hmm. you know, he grew up in Louisville. I think once you get away, you just kind mm-hmm. of keep going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If any of you had wanted to stay in Paducah after you finished your education, what would employment have been like for you as a person of color here?
Well, probably if you were a teacher, would be fine. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the other career. I think maybe with the plants and stuff. If you were, I don't know if you could have done it if you were in, you know, you were at that level. But I know a lot of people. Work there. I'm not real sure, other than
the city.
Yeah.
What's the city hiring like? Do you have any sense?
I don't have a sense of that.
Okay. 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 I read somewhere that your father has an award named after him.
It's yes.
Given locally every year.
The NAACP gives it at their
right
banquet.
And what is that award for? And how did that come about? Do you know?
I'm not sure. They started it a couple of years after he died, and I think it's for people who have carried on and some made some contribution in that field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mrs. Brown, this article that the Paducah Sun did a few years ago about your husband says that both your husband and you were fanatics about education.
That you
that what?
I said we wanted them in school now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so all seven of your children went to college. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were saying that two of your brothers actually are deceased now from automobile accidents.
Right, I only have one brother living, Donald.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that either of you can think to tell me about Mr. Brown's advocacy here with the NAACP?
I'm trying to think. I can remember when I was in the youth council, I can remember when we integrated the movie theaters. And because some of us from the youth council had gone down with him. And, you know, we used to go in the side door and up the steps.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the movie theater?
It was two of them down there, Arcade and Columbia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Columbia.
But both of them, they were the same. And after we challenged that, I'm not sure if that entailed anything legal or not, mm-hmm. but we finally, you know, we finally got that done. I can remember
they
that.
They went down Katie and I went down there.
But the practice was to ask you
go around
to sit
the
in
side.
You didn't ask you. That was the only place you could sit. You went in the side door and sat in the balcony.
Did they charge you?
You paid less.
Because a lot of people thought it was crazy.
Yeah, there was some of the opposition.
They were crazy because they paid a dollar what?
I forgot. I can't remember what it was at that point.
We didn't have to pay, but what was it?
I don't know. I don't remember the price.
So when you decided to to lobby against that, how did you go about it? Was there a demonstration?
No, we never ended up having to do that. Mm-hmm. I can remember just going down there. I guess Dad had requested had a meeting with him, but I can remember some of the members of the youth council going and with him, because mm-hmm. he did most of the talking.
Mm-hmm. So you were active in the youth council?
Mm-hmm. I actually served on board of directors in Louisville for a period of time.
Oh. of the NAACP. Adult NAACP. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, like father, like daughter, right?
He knew most of the people there, and it was kind of hard not to be there.
Right. Involved in other efforts to open up facilities here.
That was the only thing I can remember doing. I remember that Daddy supposedly challenged the makeup of the jury here when they wouldn't let blacks serve on jury. And I think that's part of that's in that article. Mm-hmm. He and Joe, challenged
Joe
that.
Joe Freeland.
Uh-huh.
Joe was a local attorney?
Mm-hmm.
He was, okay. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about him? He's not...
I think Joe's still living, I think, unless he died. He's old, he's pretty feeble, I understand, but I asked somebody the other day.
Okay.
I think he's still living.
Okay. Did you ever hear, either of you, of a gentleman named Timothy Taylor?
Mm-mm.
He was from here, and in the early 60s, he was a state member of the Kentucky Commission on Human Rights.
Mm-mm. It seemed like I've heard that name, but I can't put nothing to it.
Okay. And he might have been white. I don't know anything probably more about him than...
I just remember at that time, I can remember when Gayla Martin was on there. Mm-hmm. I can remember correspondence of Daddy talking about him a lot. I think they became friends.
Mm-hmm. And they were working on...
I'm not sure.
Things together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Paducah has a commission on human rights.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when it was first organized?
I have no clue. As a matter of fact, when I came back, I just remember reading and I saw the guy that's over it was something in the paper since I've been back mm-hmm. here in the last year. Mm-hmm. And then I saw him at church. So I think he goes to mm-hmm. church for Sunday school or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't have an idea.
But is there anything else you can think of? Okay. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for talking with me.
You're welcome.
Okay. You were saying your brothers and sisters.
But my oldest sister remembers a lot more than I do, And she remembers a lot of the things that they experienced more so than I, because I was... one of the younger children. And
where does your older sister live?
She's in Connecticut.
And her name?
Dora.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She was in Connecticut.
Okay.
And
okay.